Moz here. How are you doing? Dallas, Fort Worth. I know you guys are on your way to Chipotle or coming back from there. So they should sponsor our show. I feel like I say Chipotle all the time. You just can't beat it. I don't know. You can't beat it. So good. Welcome to the show today. Part three of our shows this week. We're talking about your life does matter. Every life matters. Light in Our Darkness is the book that we've been talking about. We talked to Lisa Kratz-Thomas earlier in the week. We've got Kathy Gray in studio yesterday, and she is back in studio today. Welcome to the show, Kathy. How are you doing?
I am doing awesome. We love Chipotle, too. Who doesn't? I mean, our kids are grown, so it's like, what do you want to do tonight?
Chipotle! always. We like In-N-Out, too. We're a big In-N-Out. I mean, who doesn't? You know, what are you going to do? I have an approved list. My staff is all laughing at me. I have an approved list of places that I'll eat and places I won't, and In-N-Out, Chipotle are on them. Anyways, we're really driving this point home this week about your life matters. And yesterday you just gave such a riveting challenge, I think, for our listeners. You know, you grew up in church, ministry parents, you got married, had three kids, but this idea that you have to be perfect or perform from the Lord was put in your head by Satan at about six years old, you said yesterday. Lisa told us on Wednesday that the lie that Satan told her was, you're a bad girl, and it happened when she was five.
Right.
So it's so interesting, just the age on that. And, you know, Satan tries to get us when we're babes, when we're young, you know. So we're going to continue that conversation because you were trying to be perfect and really, really struggled with this, which I think a lot of women can totally understand. You know, we want our family to look perfect. We want to be perfect. You know, we want to have the perfect meal, perfect house, kids clean, you know, all that kind of thing. It really drove you to a breakdown. Yeah. And we talked about that yesterday, and you really encouraged people. One of the things you told our pre-production team is that breakdown was the best, the most merciful, I think, is how you put it, thing that God could ever do to you. And we're going to continue this conversation that even though you thought your life was disposable, you know, it clearly was not. So talk to me about that being a merciful thing for you.
Yeah, it really was a merciful thing. It actually happened twice.
Okay.
Autumn. I had a breakdown in 93. And then shortly after our fourth son was born, I had another breakdown. Mm. I just was like, I can't do this. Now, in between, I'd gotten some help. So I was starting on the road of understanding how distorted my thinking had become. But it was, you know, and the second one was extremely frightening, too. I thought, oh, no. Here I am again, you know, not functioning and mentally tormented. But
what caused the second one?
You know, I think it was still, I was still kind of hanging on to this. If I can fix my outsides, my insides will get fixed. Mm-hmm. I really think so, and particularly relationally. Mm-hmm. So there was still relational conflict in my extended family. And I just kept thinking, if everyone would just line up like I need them to line up, I'll feel okay on the inside. And you cannot fix an inside problem with an outside solution.
Right. You know? That's good.
So
that's good.
So the insides cracked again. Mm. And I also know now it was in part postpartum depression.
Okay.
So hormonally I was, you know.
Which is a huge thing.
It is huge.
Yes.
It is real and it needs to be addressed. But, you know, you think about it. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was at his weakest, and that's when the devil came and tempted him.
So good.
So here I was in this compromised state, just having given birth. My hormones are whacked out, and he comes in at that point
there.
And really pushes. And again, my body said, I'm not taking this anymore. You've got to fix something here because, you know, we're body, soul, and spirit. And if the soul is out of whack and, you know, the mind, will, and emotions are headed down this path that is breaking the body, the body's going to stop, and so you're going to have to fix this. Mm. So that's how the second one happened. And it was at that time that I really buckled down, and I said, okay, an outside solution is not going to fix this. Mm. I need to deal with my perspective on life. And if I'm going to make it over the long haul, and I had these four beautiful sons and a husband that I loved, and I wanted to make it for them, you know. And so it was at that point, my co-author and I, Lisa, had met the year previous. She'd helped me with the first one, actually.
And what did she say to you? Because I feel because I remember reading she was super direct.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So you were having a breakdown. And what did she say to you?
So I weighed about 95 pounds and I was like shuffling around the neighborhood because you were supposed to get sunshine so you would feel better, you know. And I end up at Lisa's doorstep and just the Holy Spirit, it was now I know, drew me up that pathway. And I knocked on her door. She took one look at me, grabbed my hand and took me into this beautiful, sunny little sitting room. And she looks me in the eyes and she takes my hands and she says, Kathy, Jesus loves you.
Hmm.
If you were the only person in the world, he would have come and died just for you.
I love it.
Yeah, you know, at the time, I didn't love it.
But you guys had just met, though, right?
Yeah, well, we'd known each other for a little while. Okay. So I'd had her in my home and at a Bible study and stuff. Okay. So we'd had a little bit of rapport by that time. She was offering me the nuts and bolts of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been so caught up in this mentality of figuring out some sort of spiritual reality that was going to really break through and I'd finally feel good about myself. And I'd studied the Bible my whole life. And I looked at her and I'm like, I didn't say this, but I thought, are you serious? Jesus loves me. You're going to tell me Jesus loves me? I mean, I need something like really deep, you know, more intellectual, deeper, something that I can really control.
Right.
And, but you know what? I hung on to it. And she said, you're going to be okay. And I just looked at those eyes and I borrowed her hope.
Wow.
And that's huge.
Ooh,
you know, I had
someone
else say to me, she said, you're going to be okay. And I said, I don't think I'm going to be okay. She says, well, just borrow my faith for a while.
Let's stop on that for a minute. First of all, I've got two things here. First of all, you just talked about, when she looked at you and said, Jesus loves you, and you're like, that's not what I need. I don't need that. I need something else. Yeah. I need, you know, practical, be practical with me. Mm-hmm. But it is all about that. We, in our human minds, we complicate Christianity so much, and it is all about that. And this is happening every day, I feel like, in our Christian culture. No, it's got to be something more than Jesus loves me. Maybe it's because we've heard that since we were a baby and it's dumbed down and it doesn't have the same effect that Jesus loves me. My son became a Christian. I have four kids. My son became a Christian a few years ago. And of course, you know, what godly parent doesn't want their kid to know Christ ASAP?
Yeah.
You know, like born, you want to be saved, you know. But he had finally come to the realization that Jesus loved him. And we were in a parking lot and he was five and sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at my husband and I were together and, you know, we prayed with him. He made his commitment and we knew it was authentic by his emotion about the realization that God loved him exactly who he was, where he was. Who knows what Satan has already, you know, been putting in his mind. But God loved him. It was authentic. And I feel like when we, sometimes I think that we sort of grow out of that.
Yes.
You know, oh, God loves me. And it was authentic when I was little. But now, you know, I've done so many wrong things or something like that. That's not enough for me. but it is. So you want to say anything?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, mm-hmm. you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean you can't be saved. You can't enter in what he is doing right now. Mm-hmm. You know, the flow of the kingdom of heaven, what heaven is doing on earth right now. You can't be part of that if you're more than a little child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you go back to the garden. We wanted knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I'm not against intellectualism. I am all for use your brain. You know, don't just go on emotion. You need to know the word. The word is where you're going to find the life, you know. But when we ate off of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, we thought this is what's going to give us that deeper understanding. That's where the real life is. No, the tree of life was over on the other hill or wherever it was, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what Jesus does for us. He says, come back to the tree of life. Mm-hmm. Quit trying to figure it out yourself. So let me reveal myself to you.
Yes. I say that all the time. Let him reveal. You don't have to figure.
No.
He will reveal it to you.
No.
Good. Let's go to what Lisa said about borrow my hope. Borrow some of my hope.
Yeah.
Sometimes I know there's one particular person in my life and she's believing for something. Mm-hmm. I said, you know what? I am going to believe for you mm-hmm. when you are weak. Just so you know, it's okay to be weak because I know that this is coming for you.
Yes.
I love that concept of borrowing someone else's hope because sometimes we just need to look at someone else and see that they hope for us.
Yes.
And it encourages us. So what did that do for you?
Oh, it helped me make it through all of the excruciating pain. Mm-hmm. And it was excruciating pain. Mm-hmm. During the breakdowns, the first one that I had, the first question that was way down deep in my spirit that I didn't even realize I had was, is this whole thing for real? I mean, are you really real, Jesus? You know, and I had to then use my intellect to some extent and say, wait a minute, there's all these historical records of Jesus, so many writings that support what the Bible, and his death and resurrection was recorded, and he quoted mm-hmm. the scriptures. So I believe him. I believe he's the Son of God. That was the first time. The second one was I was still hanging on to this. How could you have put me on this earth when you knew that I was going to have so much pain and suffering and I'd have all of these circumstances and I would feel so horrible? Mm. And I had to really come through in this breakdown, come through to this place where I said, it is okay with me that you are God. And you decided to create me, I will not be a throwaway life. Mm. I am here for a reason. Mm. That was a foundational thing that happened to me during that second breakdown. It was a beautiful fruit from that. Mm. And, you know, I hope people out there don't have to go through that. I hope they can reach that just by a low point.
Yeah.
You know? Because not everybody has to break like that.
It's so interesting to me that Lisa kind of said the same thing yesterday, a couple days ago. She said that she kind of challenged God, if you are real, God.
Right.
And you are sort of saying, if you are real in a different. Mm-hmm. And my breakdown, that's exactly what I said to God. I almost committed suicide myself and mm-hmm. said, God, if you are who you say that you are. Mm-hmm. And I flat out told him, I don't believe you are. I don't believe it. You got to show me. You got to speak to me. And I opened my word and then he did. But those moments mm-hmm. in our lives, and you said, you know, you don't want everyone to go. We hope that not everyone has to learn the hard way.
Right.
But that was the best worst day of my life. Mm-hmm. And you're saying the same thing. This is the best / worst day ever when God sort of revealed to you, hey, I'm here.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So you and Lisa are a power pack duo. If you're just joined us right now, we are talking to Kathy Gray. I'm getting you guys all confused. Kathy Gray. She's the co-author of Light in Our Darkness. Awesome book. I've read it. I've read not 100% of it because I didn't have enough time to read it all. I'm not as fast as reader as other people, but I have read pieces of it. Very awesome, awesome book. I want you to pick it up at Amazon or lightinourdarkness.com. Now, you guys are a power pack duo. You had a radio show together, mm-hmm. which is why it's so awesome that you're on my show today. You know, she came in the studio and I was like, oh, you know what you're doing. but you guys sort of focused on, you understood that you both bought the lie that your lives didn't matter.
Right.
And you focused on doing a Sanctity of Life month.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little about that. We have about 10 minutes left.
Okay.
Talk to me a little bit about that. And let's talk about the third character. Yeah. Your book as well.
Yeah. I think Lisa might have covered this a little bit a couple of days ago. So we had a guest on who talked about Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who was one of the three key people who established NARAL, which was the Abortion Rights League, back in the late 60s. And he was a Jewish atheist who was so determined to help women who were disadvantaged that he thought abortion on demand was the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we can all have great motives, and that isn't good enough.
Wow.
Because we have to have the revelation of truth. We have to have heaven's revelation in order to use those motives to have the right solution.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, man, did he succeed. He teamed up with a couple of friends and just and did this massive deceptive campaign on the American people.
Mm.
It was lying right and left. And abortion on demand became legalized. And only to find out a few years later that the ultrasound came into his practice and he saw the unborn child for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a blind procedure,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he saw it for the first time. And he was like, in his words, oh, my God,
mm-hmm.
there is another patient in this room.
Wow. Yeah.
Not just the mother.
Yeah.
Within 6 years, he was doing no more abortions and he was completely pro-life and he didn't believe in God, not even a bit.
Mm.
He was a complete Jewish atheist. He couldn't believe in God. He was super intellectual and just, you know, God was going to have to show up in a big way for him, mm-hmm. in order for him to believe it. But he was around all these pro-life people. They were praying for him all the time. And he had this moral conviction that abortion is murder. Now, by this point, he had either performed or overseen 75,000 deaths.
Mm.
So he was carrying around this moral load that he didn't know how to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to the, he writes it in his book, Hand of God, that he, an atheist, was dealing with the problem of sin and mm-hmm. he didn't know what to do.
Wow.
You know? So here he was at his low point. He was just like Lisa and me. He felt like, I have not performed well enough in my life. Maybe I'll kill myself. And he thought about this.
Why
day
is suicide
in and day out?
I feel like so many people come to this point of suicide.
Right.
It's very, if people are actually honest, I know I've heard just doing what I do, mm-hmm. and being in ministry, you know, you hear people all the time in their most vulnerable moments where I'm thinking about killing myself, mm-hmm. ending it all, whatever. Satan always tries to get us right there to end everything.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You know,
we're
consumed
tangent.
With our past, you know?
Right.
He's not worried about our past. He's terrified about our future,
mm-hmm.
because of the destiny that God has for us.
I say that all the time. Satan sees your potential more than you do.
Yes.
And he will fight, do anything he can to stop it. And if he can immobilize you before you even try,
mm-hmm.
well, success for him, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was sort of having a break.
He was having this moral dilemma, so he started reading all of these people who dealt with sin, you know, these philosophers, basically. But remember, I talked about, I think yesterday, about how when you get to this point where you're throwing up your hands and you've given up on everything you've been trying to do and it's not working, God does have a network.
Yes.
In place. He does. He doesn't leave anybody out.
Mm.
So there was Father John McCloskey, is called the K Street. What was he called? Anyway, he was a priest that helped intellectuals come to an understanding of God. And so Bernard Nathanson would go into his office and he'd hand him another book, and then they'd talk about, you know, philosophy and belief in God, you know, for hours. And this happened over and over. So he was building this foundation. Then he's surrounded by all of these pro-life people, and he's at this sit-in rally one time. And, you know, he got up that morning, same as he got up every morning, thinking nothing's going to change today. You know, and if you're out there thinking nothing will ever change, I'm telling you, you don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes.
Right.
Because God can break through.
Right.
And he was watching these people pray for each other, pray for the abortion workers, pray for the unborn. The only people they weren't concerned with was really themselves. It was this unconditional love. And something broke through.
Wow.
God opened his heart. And he got saved. Wow. Not that day, but he was like, oh my gosh, the possibility of God is real. It invaded his spirit, you know? And so that's the story of Dr. Bernard Nathanson.
It's the book kind of tells all three of your backgrounds and stories and everything and weaves them together. But you guys did a month on the sanctity of life, obviously learned a lot about this man. And it's awesome how even he, thank God for the ultrasound machine.
Yeah.
Even he, you know, you could be so violently one way and then the ultrasound machine is invented and everything sort of changes. I want you to talk a little bit about the ruling that was handed down a couple of weeks ago and how our culture have sort of bought into really his mentality that a woman's right to choose, you know, whatever, it's not life, whatever. You know, I have adopted my two babies are adopted.
They're beautiful. So, I saw a picture. Oh my gosh.
I'm obsessed with them. I mean, I'm obsessed with all four of them, but clearly we're very pro-life and we believe in adoption 1,000%.
Yes.
And my goodness, my life just wouldn't be totally different without them. We only have a couple minutes left, but talk about the ruling and the mentality in America and how we need to get back to valuing life.
Yeah. Well, the ruling, as we know, SCOTUS came out and struck down the ruling that in Texas we had laws in place to protect women.
Mm-hmm.
And requiring abortion facilities to come up to standard because it is a surgical procedure.
Right.
And yet they are not requiring these doctors to have surgical privileges at nearby hospitals and so forth. So, excuse me, that ruling came down and it kind of gets to the motive behind what's going on with abortion, because if you really cared about women, you know, you would also care about their health care.
Right.
This isn't about health care. There's a huge deception behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way, you know, there are a lot of things that God is doing to help people awaken to the atrocity of killing an unborn child.
Mm-hmm.
The mentality that really needs to change is in grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when a woman has an abortion, there is an element of hopelessness. I can't carry this child to term. I can't take care of it. This will ruin my life. You know, they cannot see their destiny. They can't see the destiny of the life inside them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we pray for fervently is that men and women will come to see the value of every single life and their own life. And they'll come to see that hope that, you know, there are people out there to adopt these children. There are at least three qualified adults, couples, for every child that's aborted. Mm-hmm. Every single one. There's three.
Yeah.
And so there's
plenty. We waited for 2.5 years for our baby. Well, we didn't know we were getting two. We just thought we were getting one.
Yeah.
And God did that. We have one minute left, but I just I just want to pray for our listeners. Yes. And I don't do this very often, but Kathy, if you would just pray for our listeners, because I feel like this abortion thing is handed down because someone doesn't believe their life is that important. Yes. So they can discount an unborn life. And I don't know. I just feel like we need prayer to sort of combat these lies that we've talked about so much in the last couple hours. But so why don't you close us out with prayer?
So Father God, I just pray for everyone that's listening. I pray for our whole society that you would release hope from heaven in a new way that you haven't ever even released on the earth before. Yes, we pray for angels to attend to each person who is in crisis, whether it's with abortion or any other crisis. Father, I pray for hope. Mm-hmm. I pray that the children of God would rise up and help and see what's going on around them, and that you would destroy the lies of the devil in each mind individually. Father, for your glory, for our joy, we pray it in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Real quick, I feel like some of you, the lies, we talk about the lies, the lies, the lies. Sometimes you just have to sort of start over, peel everything back. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say that. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to say, you don't know how to do it. Start today, start peeling back everything that you have thought negatively about yourself and weigh it up against the power of God's word. When light shines in that darkness, you know, then you know what truth is. So anyway, thanks for listening. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Awesome.
Light
Thank
in
you.
Our Darkness is the book. Go get it. Lightinourdarkness.com or on Amazon. I'll see you back here next time.